You're listening to Katie and Kay. I'm Kathleen Shannon. An increase of run-ins between wildlife and Eagle County residents prompted officials to explore a new project, a wildlife interactive map. The online map includes layers that show migration patterns for bighorn and mule deer, bald eagle nesting sites, potential lynx habitat, and more. I spoke with a panel of Eagle County officials about the tool and its origins. You may have caught a preview of this on Katie and Kay News last week. Now, here's the conversation in full.
Yeah, I'm Matt Scher, Eagle County Commissioner.
Scott Fleming, and I'm the Eagle County GIS Department.
My name is Peter Sunnison. I'm the Education and Outreach Specialist for Eagle County Open Space.
Matt Yamashita, I'm the Area Wildlife Manager with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
Awesome. Thanks again for being on the line. I think to start, maybe Matt, if you'd be willing to give just sort of the elevator pitch of what exactly this map is in a shortened way, and then we'll get into some more details.
Start with the politician to ask for a shortened version. So this is a work product out of an initiative here called the Wildlife Roundtable. And that itself was just a response to lots of impacts we were seeing to wildlife and thinking about how we might be able to better build that into policy and express our ethic around wildlife and wildlife protection through policy. And so this work product is the idea I won't talk a whole lot about, but the history of, because for our purposes, what it gets to is this potential to have an actual tool that we can build into policy such as land use, where we can really put actual thresholds and things in such a way that people at our political level can understand.
Great. I know in the Vail Daily, Matt, you talked about you use the word crisis to describe what's happening in Eagle County between wildlife and humans. And maybe from Matt, can I get a little background on what that's been looking like in Eagle County?
I think in Eagle County is interesting. You know, there's so much going on. It's nothing's straightforward. It's always complex. It's always evolving. So when we speak of wildlife and wildlife-related issues in Eagle County, what they are now is different than what they were 5 years ago, and it's going to be different than in the next 5 years. And the unfortunate thing is that most of this management is an educated guess, but it's kind of reactive in nature. And so whenever you're reacting to what you know or what has happened in the last 5 years, and you're trying to make that fit for the scope of the next, you know, the future, it really puts you in a bad position. You end up being proven wrong more often than right in what you're doing. So that's kind of one of the dilemmas that we're in. And we're trying to, you know, we have these groups that are trying to find out what that is and how to better orchestrate and facilitate something in the future. But right now we're seeing more conflict than we are kind of any resolution as far as wildlife management. We're seeing populations that are failing on us. We're seeing, species that are choosing to reside in like urban and suburban type areas versus the wild landscape. We're seeing recreational pressures that are coming into conflict with wildlife on a routine basis. And we're trying to find ways of accommodating everything, but we're coming up short on answers.
And can you maybe give me two specific examples of species that you're seeing a lot of in that conflict scenario?
Yeah, for the big ones that always seem to be on everyone's minds are specifically with predators. We're talking bears and lions. Everybody knows about them. Everybody hears about them. We're actually hearing about them so frequently that they're becoming less intriguing. They're not, you know, it's not a novel concept anymore. It's something that's so mainstream, it's so everyday that we start forgetting, you know, what it means to have bears in town and how that's a bad thing. You know, lion conflicts, lion sightings were something that were outstanding back in the day. Bear attacks were something that was, you know, forbidden. And now that's something that barely makes the news. So it's not important anymore, and it just gets lost in the noise. The other big one that we're seeing a kind of a shift on is moose. Lots of moose conflicts starting where moose are coming down into towns. People are coming into actual, you know, direct contact with moose, and it's dangerous. It's scary. You know, we just had an incident up in Steamboat Springs here within the last week, and I'm afraid that we're going to go down the same path. So where it, you know, somebody gets trampled by a moose, and it just becomes another day.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And I guess when you were talking about the last 5 years and the next few years and thinking about how much population growth Colorado has experienced in that time, is that sort of what you imagine is the big cause for these newer conflicts?
I think that's definitely a contributing factor. It has to be a contributing factor. There's no real way around it. And just being located on the I-70 corridor, we're going to see more of that in the future. You know, that's just fact of the matter. And that's where, you know, when we're working with the counties and municipalities and everything else, we try to stay one step ahead of that and predict what that looks like for us. But nobody has that crystal ball. And it's something that we'll adapt to it, and we'll be flexible, and we'll be as quick and responsive as we can. But I think the true answer is coming up with some of these tools and, you know, and working with counties on a local level where we are productive, where we are paying attention to it and not just waiting for it to be handed to us. And that's where some of these kinds of things are highly productive.
Thanks. And I think this probably brings us pretty well to the wildlife roundtable, which it sounds like Peter is might be the best person to talk about sort of how that came to be and then essentially how the map was born from that.
Sure. I'll try to kind of explain the genesis of the wildlife roundtable. And Matt, sure, please hop in if I've, you know, misattributed anything, but you know, kind of like Commissioner Scher mentioned, you know, we were noticing these issues in our community. And I think one of the ways that we tend to deal or, you know, try to solve issues, these kind of wicked problems where there's no straightforward answer, is bringing everybody to the table. And so, you know, quickly we identified that we wanted to have strong representation from CPW, the federal land agencies, Forest Service, BLM, but then also the user groups, you know, whether that is trail users, whether that is, you know, builders and planners, developers who are also utilizing our landscape, you know, for different purposes than necessarily the trail folks are. And so what we thought was, what would be relevant was to bring everybody to the table, try to get an understanding of where they're seeing the major sticking points and the major problems. And let's keep open lines of communications. Let's work towards these solutions, you know, coming up with the action plan. Gives us that roadmap to act on what we believe are the necessary solutions. And to Matt's point about accommodating all of these different aspects of our community, you know, what we're really trying to do is a, you know, 7 or 8-sided teeter-totter. We're balancing all of these competing interests, you know, hopefully to, solve these issues, solve these problems.
Great. And, so when it comes to the actual map, sounds like, Scott, you were doing most of the technical work behind that. So I'm wondering about the methods of data collection for this project. I imagine that's a massive amount of data to put into one map.
It is a good bit of data for sure. We were fortunate to have the CPW, and they do an amazing job pulling that data together and keeping it up to date and making it really easy to use for us. And so without their data, we couldn't have created the map that we did. And so with their data, we piggybacked off of them and took that data and groomed it for our needs. And then we had some proprietary data that the roundtable group would like to have seen too. And so we pulled all that in and then just kind of created an interactive web map through the software that the county provides. And I think it turned out really well. And I hope that it's a great tool for the decision makers in the county moving forward.
Yeah, it's that last point that kind of transitions between what, so Matt was talking about a lot of these things that all these interactions and things and conflicts that have become difficult. And so all of these things that CPW is always trying to do is simply manage its job and trying to stay out of the political. But these things become inherently political because these conflicts, much of what is driven is not just changes in wildlife behaviors, but there's a whole lot more people expanding into a whole lot more wild space. And so it inherently becomes political ultimately. And they're always trying to stay out of that. We're always trying to find ways to take what they've got and incorporate it into this, our policy and political decisions. So they have this trove of data that they manage, but it's not very useful for political people or lay people like us because we just don't get it. So what that map does is take all that incredible data that CPW has, and without doing anything political, that map that Scott has created with it, it allows us to see in that visual way really what those impacts look like, what things may do over time. And so the goal with this is to take those and to be able to incorporate it into those decisions. For example, in land use, we have standards that all applications have to apply. You know, do you have the water to serve? Do you have access for it? And all simple things like that. What we don't have is real standards for wildlife. So what we end up doing is asking for mitigation. As some of our friends in the wildlife world have said, that it's mitigation is death by a thousand paper cuts. It's a net loss to wildlife always. So it's a way to take what Peter's doing with the Wildlife Roundtable, where we're incorporating our community sensibility, taking the data CPW has, and taking Scott's work to make that into a tool that we might be able to use in policymaking to finally express our ethic for wildlife to do something real and meaningful.
Well, I laud the efforts to have all of you on this call, all from really different, seemingly different parts of what's going on in Eagle County. It truly shows how much teamwork and had to be put into this. And I kind of back on that, the technical piece about the map itself. So we all know that wildlife moves around. How is that accounted for on the map? Is it a matter of tracking specific animals, you know, with collars and et cetera? Is it a matter of noticing patterns, especially as things are shifting with an increasing population?
I can speak to some of that. And regarding the data layers that are wildlife, you know, wildlife data layers. So we're talking winter ranges, summer ranges, movement corridors, production areas, nesting sites, those types of layers. That data is stuff that's all information that's collected by our local officers, by our field biologists. Some of it's done through studies, formal studies, research projects. Others are done just through our everyday field observations. A lot of it is done in collaboration with some of our conservation groups. So we're always networking with the open space groups, with the land trusts, with Elk Foundation, Mule Deer, with the Audubon Society, these other different groups out there that have interest, and utilizing those resources, their specialties. And then every 4 years, those maps are updated for us internally. And so those maps are made publicly available. Like Commissioner Scherer was saying, it's a lot of it, it's a lot lost because it's biological concepts. It's all, we're speaking in this own biological language that, you know, we are formally trained to understand, but that sometimes it gets lost in translation and doesn't have the meaning or carry that content that is something usable in the real world. That's where these kinds of maps are great. The second part to it, where CPW really has a strong vested interest in this, is not only in helping us interpret that, but in adding additional layers that we don't have, you know, we don't have access to, or we don't have the capacity to share and to interface with what we know from the resource perspective alone. speaking to some of these, you know, some of the development, you know, you go through and you start looking at areas that are zoned specific ways, or where development proposals are, or where trails are, and what the buffer zones are and the seasonal closures are. That all speaks worlds to how we manage that resource in those areas. And currently we have those data sets, but they're all available individually, independently. There's not one resource that compiles everything and layers it together to where we can reference that. So I think, I mean, we're looking at it with eyes wide open, and I think it's going to be a good tool even for us as wildlife managers.
Great. Yeah. I wanted to get a little more into sort of the use of the map. I think we have some good ideas of how maybe you all will be using this map to some extent. But I'm kind of interested in how you expect the public to interface with it, and maybe also sort of the long-term vision of what kind of changes in the long run you can see being made around this type of information.
So I'm happy to jump in there. So, you know, currently we've released this map to our roundtable partners, all of the organizations involved with the Community Wildlife Roundtable, and, you know, made it quasi-public via our presentations to Commissioner Scherer and his colleagues with the BOCC. But we're really in the development process for crafting that narrative behind the map and how we expect and would like the public to use it. So, you know, many of the layers have historically been available via CPW. We're not really sure how folks are going to use it. You know, we've reached out to our partners, we've made it available to them, and, you know, for example, a land trust may want, you know, to have some sort of internal use that they can put all of their conservation easements on that map in the context of wildlife migration corridors or certain seasonal habitats. They could then, you know, additionally put, you know, to Matt's point about, you know, 75 acres or larger parcels on that map and really try to target potential conservation easements that different partners want to use. And so we see that there is kind of an internal use for different wildlife roundtable partners that they might be able to use it internally, not share it out to the public. But then we also really want it to be available to the public. And we're still kind of crafting that narrative as to how we want them to use it, digest it, and really tell that story, you know, not only where the data comes from, what it means, and what it can show kind of on the landscape. So long-winded version of TBD is what I've got for you.
Fair enough. Thanks. Yeah, I know, of course, this technology, it's, seems like there are so many counties in the West who may want to be using this type of amalgam of information at some point in this way. Do you see other interest in that yet, or predict other projects that this might be used for? I'm actually thinking specifically about gray wolf reintroduction. If there's any thought in the that might not be in an Eagle County, but potentially in other counties. That's a future story right there, maybe.
I'm not gonna touch the wolves, but yes, you know, just chatting with Scott earlier today, he did mention that he's received phone calls from other GIS departments around the state who've been interested in what he's done. And then I think it's also really neat, you know, to point out on our map that Scott clipped that data with 5 miles outside of Eagle County borders. Now, really just to show that all of this data is statewide, and we know that animals don't abide by our arbitrary lines on a map. And so we've really crafted this as a tool to be a jumping off point for future collaborations in neighboring counties, neighboring states, to produce stuff like this as well.
Yeah, I'd be curious, Matt, what you think about whether this could be valuable to the wolf effort, because it's, as we talk about the political, that's one of those things that is, you know, not just in the strict sense of politics, but in the conflict sense of politics, that I wonder if it's something that could help with that conversation, because this helps show some realities in a graphical way that we can all understand, rather than that conversation that has been, there's been a lot of hyperbole based around, you know, loose knowledge of what may or may not be happening. So I wonder if a tool like this could help with that conversation.
I think this tool, specifically from an educational perspective like that, I mean, the capacity is endless. It's limitless in what kind of data we can utilize it in portraying to the public, you know, what some of these realities are that independently we recognize and that we, you know, we deal with on a routine basis. Some things that maybe people aren't aware of or are speaking to from a different location, but they don't know what the local flavor is over here. I think that in that capacity, yeah, definitely. Even, you know, on a local level from, you know, we were speaking earlier about some of the management and like reintroduction efforts or relocation efforts. You know, it's helpful to be able to reference that and take a look at what some of the management strategies, the development policies are localized in some of these areas and determine, is this an appropriate place for us to be trying to conserve elk habitat? Or is this an appropriate place for us to try to reintroduce turkeys? You know, or is this something where this is slated for development another 5 years? And if we put turkeys here now, we know that it's just going to result in a bunch of turkeys that are defecating on everybody's cars and rooftops. So maybe we should look in a different location. But those are the kinds of concepts where, you know, from one extreme to the other, I think it's got a lot of relevance.
I'm wondering if there's any other projects on the horizon for what sounds like the relatively new Wildlife Roundtable.
I think for, you know, speaking just relation to the Wildlife Roundtable, you know, this was a group that was convened here a little over a year ago. The first year was grossly the planning phase of everything and trying to get the right people at the table, speaking a common language and making sure we had our objectives delineated, defined. And we've done that. Now we're in that next phase where we're looking toward what these projects may or may not be, what the scope of those projects are, you know, what we have the time and effort and the ability to tackle. So I don't think we've delineated a lot of that. Correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Commissioner Scherer, Peter, Scott, anybody. I don't think we've really established sideboards on there either. You know, we're open to ideas, but we're kind of testing the waters on some of these. You know, one of the other things that we as the Wildlife Roundtable have undertaken is last year CPW had some of our herd management plans that we were trying to get public eyes on and review of and put it in front of the Wildlife Roundtable as a great stakeholder group to get feedback from, and provided, you know, really, really good informative conversation on what we were looking at for the future management of the deer herd north of Eagle. So that's the kind of concept where I think we'll take baby steps, but we're definitely gaining some momentum.
And I would add, you know, kind of where we're at right now is the Wildlife Roundtable has identified their action plan, and that has been established. And so right now we are presenting that action plan to different municipalities, town councils, boards throughout Eagle County, and really taking the temperature on is, you know, to Commissioner Scherer's point about adopting, you know, a more formal resolution, really trying to gauge different councils' attitudes and interests. Is this something that they might want to adopt as a regulatory document or as a regulatory plan moving forward? So we're getting it in front of all the different towns and municipalities in Eagle County to inform us as far as those next steps go.
Great. And is anyone aware of other counties in the West who are sort of having these same kinds of conflicts, or even, I feel like I don't hear a lot of roundtables around wildlife. I'm curious if there's other areas who are really working on these types of projects.
It's an interesting question that you bring up, because the CPW and working with the governor's office, we have a regional partnerships right now that's going on, and it's a statewide initiative where we're actually, as an agency, we've put forth funding for different coalitions to sign on as part of this statewide program. And all of these different coalitions are, I mean, the Eagle County Community Wildlife Roundtable was one of the groups that applied for funding there. And it's, I think that one just recently, we just closed that application process, had 40 different coalitions that were applying for funding within Colorado. All of them are, they're relatively similar in nature. And that's one of the things, is that everybody's got these ideas. And this particular group, I know there's several different community groups in Eagle County that were working toward the same cause or a similar cause. And this kind of wraps it all up into a big summary which is where we're kind of gaining power.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to what else will come out of this project and checking it out myself. So I think I'll wrap it up here. But thank you so much for your time, everyone.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Have a good afternoon,
guys. Thank
you, Kathleen. Thanks.
That was a conversation with officials from Eagle County about a newly released wildlife interactive map. Find the link to the map and the full interview at kdnk.org.